You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Good afternoon, Jay. I have one question for you. Have you ever written anything stupid on Twitter before that you wish you had never done?
Not yet.
It's happening all the time.
It happens all the time. I tend to be careful. I mean, I've misspelled things and like that. Okay. But if I said something stupid that I said, go, oh no, I haven't done that yet. But you know what? I'm not going to say that it's. I can't do it. I'm sure
it's still
capable.
Early. It's still
I'm
early.
Capable, but not yet.
Well, you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
Yes, I do.
U of A found out. Well, no, U of A's been. I don't know what the word is. There's kids there tweeting, or one guy for sure.
Yeah.
As we just told the news, as Tom said the news, and it's not good. But if you're going to be silly, guess what? You get silly prizes.
Well, you do, and you know when a lot of this. Began and you know one of the questions that we've had regarding COVID and players and the protocols and stuff is what happens when somebody steps out of line,
right?
What happens when somebody you know breaks the protocols and doesn't follow the direction you're giving them? What do you do? And today we got the answer. What happens on the Arizona football team?
Right,
you get suspended, you lose a portion of your scholarship, and You're basically out of luck.
We're kind of observers, right? We are. Don't you think that's fair?
Here's the deal, and you know there's obviously a lot to this situation with Edgar Burrell. He's the offensive lineman for U of A, redshirt junior, a starter. Look, he's got his own views on all of this, but guess what? I don't care what your views are, whether you believe in this or not. The U of A football team has rules.
Right, right. And if you're going to be here...
And if you're going to be here, you got to follow those
rules.
Right,
right, right.
Whether or not you believe on what COVID is or isn't, you still have to follow those rules.
Right.
And it's as simple as that.
They also gave them options. If you don't feel comfortable in being here, you don't have to be here.
Right. And Michael Lev has got some time with Michael Lev at the start, who's been, you know, on our show a number of times. Got some time with Kevin Sumlin today, and both to talk about the Edgar Burrell thing, but just things in general. Kevin Sumlin has a son who's a walk-on at Oklahoma, so it kind of has both perspectives of what's going on. And what he has said and what the U of A has said all along, and it's what it's going to say to its students, is if you don't want to be here, if you're not comfortable being here, then don't be here.
Correct.
And they're okay with that.
And they'll continue to abide by the scholarship.
Right. Like, and you'll keep your scholarship. Well, you'll keep whatever benefits you have. You don't have to be here. But this guy... He's talking a lot of smack, saying that he's contradicting himself.
Right, right.
Because he's saying, I don't believe in this, but then he's saying, I don't want to be here, or something like that.
Right, right.
Because something got put out saying that guys are losing their scholarships if they don't want to be here. Well, he's lost benefits. He's not completely lost his scholarship, but he's lost benefits because he broke the rules.
Right. He's still on the roster.
He's on the roster.
Half scholarship partial scholarship.
He's getting his tuition and fees, but he's lost his meal plan that he gets with being on the U of A football team. He's lost his stipend that he gets with that because he broke the rules. And again, you know, whether you believe in the COVID thing or not, you still have to follow the rules.
Correct. We come here, we're not wearing masks right now, but we're mandated by the people here to say, wear your masks.
Right. We wear our masks, get in, you know, in and out of the building. We sit in the studio. We've got a plastic shield in between us. Mm. And so, that's as much as you can do, and that's fine.
It's like us talking smack about the station and then coming to do the work.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
So you've just got to follow the rules, because what happens when you don't follow the rules is you become the Florida Marlins.
Isn't life simple if you just do that?
It does seem. I mean, you know, if Edgar Burrell doesn't want to play by the rules, then fine. You can make that choice.
My guess, and this is just a guess, that he won't be playing.
I, you know, with all the stuff that, you know, he was tweeting stuff, and I haven't seen any of it because a lot of it's been deleted and stuff like that. You're just hearing, you know, stuff that was coming out, and he's trying to talk to national media, and he says he's got a story, and that's at the top of his Twitter feed, whatever the story is. But the bottom line, the UVA football team has determined that he violated the coronavirus rules within the team, and they've set him aside. And you know what? I don't care who you are, they're not going to risk everybody else, because it's not just about playing time and all that kind of stuff.
The other guys,
it's lives at stake.
Yeah, no, you've asked the question of Hickey. You've asked some questions of other people. What's going to happen when they break the rules? Well, and we found out.
Right, and the U of A as a whole has said, if we catch you at a party.
Yeah.
You know, the rules for you to be on campus is that you can't be at parties. You can't be at gatherings. I think mm-hmm. it's 15. If they catch you at a gathering of 15, if you're in a bar, if you're at a frat house, if you got 15 people in your dorm and they can prove that you were there, and you know how social media is, there's mm-hmm, pictures mm-hmm, everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can get suspended from school.
You get caught with pictures at eating wings somewhere.
Right, right. Yeah, you go to a strip club for wings, you're in trouble, right?
Yeah, you can't avoid any of this. It's sad, but not surprising.
It's not surprising. Actually, again, it's another one of those things. You don't want this to happen. But if it's going to happen, it's better that it happens now.
So let me ask you, you go to college, you try to learn, you hope to learn, not just about books and book learning, but it's about life.
You're supposed to grow
up. You grow up, exactly. Do you think this example will help some of those kids who haven't grown up grow up?
I would hope so. It would sure help me grow up. If I'm the guy, you know,
the example?
Let's say I'm the guy behind Edgar Barola on the death chart. Uh-huh. Now I know what I got to do to keep that job, to keep my position, to keep my scholarship, to stay on the team. I know that if I go do what he did,
I'm gone. Yeah.
Gone
or you're eating less.
Look, and I don't think they're trying to make an example of him. I just think they have to have a no tolerance stepping out of the protocol.
I thought Michael F. wrote it well, where they don't want to be the next Michigan State. They don't want to be the next Rutgers. There's Iowa that's having its trouble now. And I've said this before, publicly and freely on this show too, that I don't think there's going to be a college football season after the early part of the season, because there's going to be too many body fluids on the field going back and forth, and then what?
Well, I think it just depends, because let's look at the Marlins situation.
Yeah, exactly.
They're playing Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Okay, now 17 Marlins have tested positive for COVID. More than half their team has it. Mm-hmm. They were playing the Phillies. All the Phillies tested clean.
Mm-hmm.
So none of the Phillies got it. So is there a possibility that you can come, you know, you can play? Now, baseball isn't the close contact that you have with football. Mm-hmm. But to me, that gives me a little bit of hope that, you know, if you can figure out ways to control this, that maybe you can.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is what happens with the Marlins going forward.
Sure, sure. And Jay, all you can have is hope.
I'm keeping the hope.
I'll give you that. Hey, let's take a quick break here. We have a special guest today, Brian Jeffries. We're looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to having Brian on. Guy's got a lot of history at Arizona, just like we do, and we want to talk to him about some of that.
Great. We'll come back here on 10:30 The Voice.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
The These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here at 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera with Jay Gonzalez, and on the phone now we have Brian Jeffries, the voice of the Arizona Wildcats. Brian, how the heck are you?
Gentlemen, doing very well considering it's August, and as all of us have done, found ways to occupy ourselves for a few months here, and hoping upon hope that we can get back to some college sports sometime in the near future.
Well, Brian, when we contacted you, it took a while for you to get back to us because you said you had just kind of, I guess some people might call it, stayed off the grid. So what, you know, how have you been doing? What have you been doing since with all this time on your hands?
Well, let's see. I cleaned out the backyard twice. I discovered the location of the Marana Regional Dump. Made a couple trips there. Let's see. I painted one bathroom.
My wife's listening. Okay, I don't want her to hear that.
Oh, okay.
She's been bugging me to paint a bathroom.
You could hire him. Maybe he'll do it.
All right. Well, just if your wife's listening, I did a lousy job. I should have had it done professionally.
Do you miss sports like we miss sports?
I do. I mean, I'll be honest with you, when the Arizona baseball season ends, I like to just get away for a while because it's a 9-month grind for me, but I love Major League Baseball as well, and so I enjoy the summer afternoons, getting on the computer, listening to Major League Baseball on the radio or watching it on TV during the summer. So yeah, that's been difficult. First time, obviously, in my life or most of our lives that we've gone without it all summer, and that's been tough, you know, just trying to find other things. You discover other things in your life, but at the same time, you certainly miss sports.
So since this is all such a big part of your job, I mean, it's your career, you know, having college football and basketball and baseball and all these things, where's your mind right now on how things are developing? You know, what do you see? Where do you think we're headed? We're obviously hoping that we're going to have college football here, you know, in September, but, you know, where's your head on this right now?
Well, I'm going to stay 50-50. That's what I think the odds are of playing at all this season. I'm trying to be optimistic, but I'm also realistic, and all you have to do is look around the country and see the condition that we're in health-wise right now. It's not a good look at this point. Major League Baseball is, you know, already had a little bit of a trip up here, and we'll see how that plays out. The NBA and the NHL, I think, are different because they're professional leagues. They're able to control their players much more. The NFL is going to be another question. I think that's going to maybe help college football to see when these NFL teams get into camp, how things go there. So I'm hoping that the powers to be in college football wait as long as they can before making a final decision. But at the same time, the health and welfare of everyone, starting with the players and the coaches and the staff and then the fans, that has to be taken into consideration first and foremost. And if they can't guarantee that they're going to be able to pull this off and keep everybody healthy, then I'm afraid that either we're going to see a delay in the start of the season or, of course, the possible postponement or cancellation, which would be extremely difficult on athletic departments around the country, but necessary, again, because we have to put our health first.
Talk about hope against hope. You'd be crazy busy in the spring if that's moved.
Yeah, it would. I don't even want to think about it, Steve, because, you know, as it is right now, when football and basketball run together,
right,
and then
right.
Basketball and baseball run together, you know, I'm going crazy as it is, trying to do football and basketball and or baseball at the same time would be extremely difficult. My personal opinion, guys, is I just don't see them playing college football in the spring. There's a lot of reasons not to do it with the calendar, trying to play two seasons in, you know, less than 12 months. The reason they want to do it, as it appears, is they need the TV revenue. Again, it goes back to the health and welfare of the athletic departments. But how is TV going to squeeze those games in? They've got, you know, let's say the NBA is playing, college basketball is playing, NHL, whatever's going on. I just don't know how they're going to be able to get all those games on TV and realize the revenue that they need. So I would think that would be desperation if they tried to play college football in the spring.
Well, you almost have to think, and I hate saying this, but you know, when you put it that way, I mean, it's like football's in the fall or not at all.
All or nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. I really think so. I mean, I think Greg Hansen wrote recently about what the Portland State players that voted to say we would rather cancel the season than try and play in the spring. And I think you need to ask the players. That's the other thing is let's find out what the players want to do. And I'm just wondering how many of them would want to do that. There's also with the NFL draft and how many guys would sit out the college season in the spring because they wanted to get – there's just a myriad of things there. I understand the desire to want to play in the spring. I just don't know if it's practical.
Let's go back to this beginning of this March. You're in Vegas. I'm assuming you're in Vegas getting ready for the second game of Arizona's. They had just beaten Washington. They were getting ready to play USC, and they say there's no more games. What were you thinking? Like, this is not possible?
It was surreal, to say the least. I mean, when we left the arena after beating Washington, of course, you know, there was talk going on about what was going to happen. The talk at that time was that there would be no fans. I think they had already made that decision. When I was cleaning up some stuff here over the summer, I had already written the pregame show for the USC game, and I went back and read it, and of course I had written that there are no fans in the arena, that had been the decision, and they were going to play with just the necessary personnel and, of course, the teams. And then that morning, that would have been Thursday morning, I was actually walking over to do the pregame interview with Sean Miller at their pregame meal. And so I had gotten to the base of the elevator, and I got a call from Nate, the sports information director, and he said, yeah, don't bother coming over because I don't think they're going to play. And so I turned around and went back to my room and just sat and waited, turned on the TV, and watched it all unfold. And then it was, like I said, it was surreal at that point. And then the question became, how do you get home? Mm-hmm. And so I spent a couple hours just trying to work on that.
Did you come home with the team? Did you rent a car? What did you do?
No, the team did not. Well, they bused back. And so there was no room for us on the bus. And they did have a charter plane because there were a lot of U of A personnel in Las Vegas, as there always are for that tournament. But that plane was not going to leave until Friday night at 11 p.m. Okay, so this is Thursday morning now, and the plane's not leaving until Friday. So I basically got on the Southwest Airlines website and found I think it was like a 9 o'clock or 9:30 flight that Thursday night out of Vegas to get back to Tucson. And I said, I don't care what it costs. I'll pay for it because I want to get home. I just, you know, sitting around for 2 days in a hotel and with everything that was coming down around the world, I wanted to be home with my family.
The moment that really caught me in that, I mean, they were canceling the conference tournaments and stuff like that was when the NCAA tournament got canceled. Yeah. That's when I went, whoa, 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 whoa. This is way bigger than anything that I thought could happen.
Yeah. And, you know, with all the talk about maybe our country didn't react quickly enough, college sports did act quickly enough. I mean, they were able to make those decisions as painful as it was. And I think stop any, you know, who knows what would have happened if they tried to go ahead with it. And it just seemed... It seemed insane to try and go play a tournament again without any fans, you know, starting with those first round games. I couldn't see that happening. And as it turns out, it was the best move to make and just cancel it.
I can't remember at the time. I think baseball was still planning to play, right? Softball was still going. So you had that. Am I correct?
Well, both seasons had started. And Arizona was scheduled to open its conference season in baseball that weekend with Oregon State here in Tucson at High Corbett Field. And obviously it didn't happen, and the Beavers had never gotten on a plane to travel, and so everything stopped at that point. And I think the softball team, if memory serves me right, they were going to start conference play that weekend as well. So it was, I know in talking to a lot of the coaches from the different sports around campus that, you know, some of those teams were on the road when this, mm-hmm. it wasn't just men's basketball. There were others that were on the road and not only had to get their way back to Tucson, but trying to make sure that their players, their student athletes were able to get back to their homes, wherever that might be. It was quite a challenge for many teams.
So, Brian, after the break, we want to, you know, go down memory lane a little bit, but we've got a couple more minutes here. So are you getting ready for the season? Are you doing your homework? Are you anticipating that it's going to happen, or are you still waiting a little longer?
No, I'm going full steam ahead, Jay. What I do every summer once baseball ends and I get a little break is I've got a file on every team Arizona plays in all three sports, and I go through and update those files so that it saves me some time when it comes to game week, no matter if it's baseball, basketball, or football. And so I'm working right now. I had already got the Hawaii thing done, and obviously that's not going to happen. So I'll save that file for another time. But I'm working on updating the Pac-12, the 10 teams Arizona will play this year, and have that all ready to go. And, you know, something, if we don't play, if there are no games, at least I'm a step ahead for next season. I'll look at it that way.
It's funny because Jay and I talked about this maybe a day or so ago, and this, your approach to what you do. You're not really a homer, which is great for people who listen, because you play it pretty down the middle. Of course, you do Arizona games. That's what you do, and probably have a little bias towards them. But is that your purpose, just your style?
I guess so, Steve. I've never really thought about it. I always, you know, the people that I grew up and listened to and was taught this business, that's one thing that they always impressed on me is that you don't know who's listening to you, and everyone listening to you may not be a diehard fan of your team. So, you know, play it fair. I mean, yes, I want the Wildcats to win every game. Mm-hmm. I'll readily admit that, just because it puts everybody in a good mood.
And so sure.
I like that. And I like, because I've had the opportunity and the blessing to work around so many great players and coaches over the years, you know, I'm rooting for them. I want them to win. But I think in fairness, in terms of my business, it's important to paint an objective picture, because I think that's what the fans want to hear. They don't want excuses. They want to know the facts. And so that's kind of where I come from, is to try and be fact-based, paint the proper picture, and let the fans, you know, make up their own mind from there.
Let's go in. Well, you do a great job
that,
doing
that's
it.
That's what we all thought, Brian. Yeah, yeah. So it's great to hear that from
Let's
you.
Let's take a quick break here, come back, and go through memory lane, like Jay said, here on 1030 The Voice.
Go local. Make the switch. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer customized solutions and get you what you need faster. Like our quick and easy credit cards and auto loans. All done online from start to finish. Save time using mobile banking, bill pay, mobile deposit, and mobile pay with just a few clicks. Live large, accessing 30,000 plus surcharge-free ATMs and free debit card choices. Make the switch to Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/switch. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10-3 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone we have the voice of the Wildcats, Brian Jeffries.
Okay, Brian, we're gonna put you on the spot a couple of times here, all right?
Okay.
So first of all, okay, you're gonna have to give this up right now. How old are you?
Let's see.
because
how should I put this?
Well, no way. Go ahead and say why.
Here's why. Okay, because I went back looking, looking on the internet through for pictures, mm-hmm. To put on our graphic that we put on social media and stuff. And it pisses me off that I look like I look and you look like you look. and then I look at your bio and I think we're close to the same age. How old are you?
Well, we probably are. So let's see. I've been doing play-by-play for 31 years here. And I started when I was 30. How old would I have been there? 35.
Wow.
So you're way older than me.
I would have never, ever guessed that. Are you being serious?
No, I'm being serious, yeah.
Wow, I thought you were like 58, 59.
No, I had you 59, 60 years old. You're 67, you're 66 years old?
66, yeah.
Holy
dang,
moly.
Brian, now I'm more mad than I was before, okay? Because I look at the picture that we put on the graphic today. Come on. I look at Steve and I, and it's like, we're just, come on.
See, the newspaper business beat the heck out of us.
It must be. That's not right.
I was blessed with great genes. My dad, who passed away a couple years ago at the age of 92, still had most of his hair. And so it's just, I've been fortunate. It's just been handed down.
Well, I got all my hair, Brian, but it's all silver. Wow. I never would have gone. I thought 60, maybe 59, and thinking, I'm trying to do the math, thinking, man, you were pretty young when you got this thing going. You were an old guy already.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I didn't feel old. I still don't feel old, to be honest with you. But
that's it. Man.
So you get the hard-hitting questions on this show. You know that. How old are you?
College athletics will keep you young. I think being around young people all the time, it really does. I mean, it energizes me because, sometimes I feel like I'm still in school. And when I go into the office every day and I see the student athletes roaming around McHale Center, it's a it just makes you feel good, and it gives you, some more energy. I was just thinking about that today. I've been back to the office now, I think, twice since March. And, I miss that, just being around all the people.
On top of everything else, Brian, you don't sound old either, all right? And that's it. I mean, seriously, and I'm being serious about that. You sound like you sounded 30 years ago.
Right.
And I know I don't. And I know, that's amazing. Well, I congratulate you on that because, man, let's just say how they say, you've kept well.
I was thinking about this, thinking about you guys, and I love listening to you because both you guys have such great history with Tucson athletics. But I was thinking if you added up Steve's, just his, not his age, but just his years here reporting in Tucson, Jay, your years here being involved in athletics and my years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're well over the century mark.
We are.
We are. Well, I didn't realize I started in 87. That's when you kind of took over in 87, I think, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Jay was talking about it.
I had done baseball for a couple years before that. And then my first football game was the 1986 Aloha Bowl. Ray Scott, the great Ray Scott, was doing radio at the time, and when Arizona earned that trip to the Aloha Bowl, it meant traveling over Christmas, and he just didn't want to go, to be honest with you, and I raised my hand and said, well, I'll be glad to go, so I did that game, and that turned out to be, of course, Larry Smith's last game as head coach, and a few months later, Ray retired, and I had been bugging them for a long time trying to get the job, and they reluctantly gave it to me, and now they can't get rid of me.
Reluctantly? Really?
Yeah. It's a great story. I'll tell you this, that, and I've told other people this before, that I moved to Tucson in 1980, and so I was doing radio. I did the pregame and postgame show for the Wildcats. I did baseball, like I said, beginning in 84. And did a sports talk show and all those other things. They'd gone through three different play-by-play announcers. So Kent Dirdevanis was here when I arrived.
Right.
He left, and then not Jack Buck, his brother, I can't remember, Bob Buck, his brother came in and took over. And then he left, and then Ray Scott. Well, each time they had an opening, I applied for it. I went in and made my sales pitch, and they turned me down. And so after Ray retired, I went in to make my pitch again. And at that point, I thought, well, I probably don't stand a chance, but I got to give it a whirl here. And after the meeting, I looked at the other side of the room, and I got nothing but stares. And finally, gentleman said to me, you know, Brian, we're sick and tired of you coming in here every time there's an opening and applying for this job. Pause. So it's yours.
Wow. And who was that?
That was the general manager of the radio station. At that time, it was KMGX.
Okay, right. KMGX.
And he, in conjunction with the university, obviously, they have the right of approval. But anyway, I kind of sat there and I walked out of the room thinking, now, I think I got it. I think I got it. I wasn't too sure, but I think I got it. So it was kind of the strangest meeting I've ever been in my life, but I was very thankful, obviously, and I've loved it ever since.
He's part of the guy who says, I'm the guy that found Brian Jeffries.
Exactly. Well, did the U of A have to approve that, or was that it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sid Dempsey was the athletic director at the time, and he had to sign off on it. And because I'd been in town, remember, for 6 years, I built a relationship with everybody on campus, and that was probably the biggest reason, because my play-by-play experience prior to that was obviously the football. I had the football game on tape. I had done two basketball games. In fact, I had done two NCAA tournament games against Auburn and Alabama because Ray had conflicts and couldn't travel to those, and I'd done baseball. So I had something to show them that they could listen to. And as you guys well know, your relationships are gold.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just being here in town and being around the university, you know, they felt comfortable with me, and I think that was really important.
Okay, so here's another on the spot. I was looking back at your bio, and you were a DJ, and you did. It looks like you had a business, and you DJed at high schools and stuff like that. All right, mm-hmm. What's the DJ attire in the late 70s?
Polyester shirt, long sleeve, you know, with some kind of design on it. Bell bottom jeans, probably.
And the hair.
The hair down below my ears. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Hey, I wanted to ask you real quick. I did a story for one of my books. You were one of the chapters. You had seen more. I had only missed three games in my 23-year. I think it was. Missed one or two. Maybe Lute had missed a few. George Khalil had missed maybe one or two. Are you still kind of like on that streak? How many have you missed?
I have missed. I missed two basketball games when my daughter was born, stayed here when the team traveled to Washington. Son was born and we were here in town. Actually, we did not broadcast, not the Aloha Bowl that I did, but how many years later was that? Arizona played
90, the 90 Bowl. Aloha Bowl with,
When they just got their rear end kicked.
Yeah,
the radio station elected not to send us for budget reasons.
Smart move.
Yeah, it turned out that way. So Les Josephson, who did the games with me at the time, we sat in his living room and watched the game. That was kind of strange.
I bet.
So I missed those three. I know I've missed. I missed a basketball game in Las Vegas a few years ago when there was a conflict with football. I'd have to go back. Not more than a handful.
That's 33 years of covering this team.
Yeah, that's stunning. Okay, so I sent you a question on a text message. And look, I know that's kind of like asking you who's your favorite kid, but you know, talk to us about your best days doing, you know, U of A sports. You know, it could be a game, it could be a day. I mean, if I recall, didn't you do both the New Mexico Bowl and then the Florida game?
Yes.
That night, you know, stuff like that. I mean, what were some of your best days as the voice of the Wildcats?
Well, I mean, it's easy to talk about championships, and you know, I've had the opportunity to been to the College World Series four times, and you know, been a part of the best football season in history, and obviously a national championship in basketball. And you can't put anything ahead of that. But when you talk about favorite games. My first year doing basketball play-by-play, you know, the 1988 regional final in Seattle when Arizona beat North Carolina to get to Kansas City in the Final Four. You know, yes, winning a national championship is incredible. Like I said, that's number one. But the first time a school ever earns its first trip to a Final Four, to me, is just, you know, that is very special. And just, you know, remembering Tom Tolbert dancing on the court there at the King Dome and beating Dean Smith in North Carolina, that one I'll never forget. And there's too many others other than the 97 championship. You know, we could spend hours talking about those. Football, you know, yes, the 12-1 season was great. The Desert Swarm years, 93 in particular, was great. But I'll tell you about another game, and people laugh at me when I say this. It was 1989. You guys will remember this. Arizona Stadium. Oklahoma Sooners come to town. They're ranked in the top 10.
Yes.
You know, Arizona was like, I know they lost the week before to Texas Tech.
Horribly.
Yes. And,
yeah.
It was a bad loss.
And the Wildcats beat Oklahoma 6-3.
We had Doug Pfaff on the show maybe 2 weeks ago.
Okay, that's great. And I remember telling Larry McDuff years later that was one of my favorite games, and he looked at me like, "Are you crazy?"
They played,
I said,
between
them because that was, you know, that was before Desert Swarm, but you know, to beat a story program like that and do it defensively like that, I just that was incredible.
Both
so that's
teams,
just, like I said, there's too many to go through in our time span, but those are some that I really really stand out for.
Both teams played between the 30s. They couldn't move the ball.
Yeah,
that was great. Well, going back to that North Carolina, you know, regional final. I mean, you know, it was my second year covering basketball, and I remember that I almost felt guilty about how giddy I was about them winning that game, and it was purely for selfish reasons because, like, I'm gonna get to cover a Final Four, and that's how I felt about that. I was so excited about that, and it was so I don't know how you thought about it, but it was so unexpected to me each time they won a game going in that tournament.
And they beat
beat the crap out of everybody. And I'm thinking, is this really happening? And that's kind of how I took it.
Yeah. No, I remember those first two games, I think, were in L.A., Cornell and Seton Hall, if I remember right.
Right.
And then they beat Iowa in Seattle before they faced North Carolina. And you're right. I mean, you're thinking North Carolina, okay, well, it's been a nice run.
Right.
But, you know, you don't beat Dean Smith in a regional final. Come on. And so, yeah, it was. I felt the same way. I was on cloud nine for, you know, the week until we got back to Kansas City. And, you know, then I'll tell you so I didn't buy any souvenirs when we were at the Final Four in Kansas City. Okay. Because this was my first year. Remember,
right.
I'm green. I'm a rookie.
You're busy.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I'll just get some next year when we're back.
Oh, wow.
That's a Josh Pastner move. Hey, we'll get here every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought, oh, that's okay. I'll get them next year. But then I realized, so in 94, I mean, I stocked up. I mean, I bought everything in sight. And
I did worse than you. I did buy a bunch of souvenirs at the arena for my family and for myself. And I left them in a bag on my seat in press row.
Oh,
I forgot.
Oh, no.
It was probably $100, $100-some worth of souvenirs. Oh, and I left them in the arena. That was awful.
I know that hurt.
That was a rookie move, Jay. That was
big rookie move.
The one thing that I remember from that game in Seattle was Bobby coming on the court and Lute getting that big hug, and it's kind of like the team had finally arrived.
Yeah.
No, that was, like I said, just a special moment. And even in the years after that, when they earned trips to the Final Four, as great as those were, and as historic as those are, all of them, that first one just stands out to me. And I think, like you guys said, it was the atmosphere. There was just something about that. In 94, you know, when they beat, who did they beat? Was it Missouri they beat to get to the Final Four, I think?
Yeah.
I mean, it was great to get back there again, but it just wasn't that same feeling.
Sure.
And, you know, 97, you know, boy, they barely...
Every game.
You know, beating...
Every game.
Every game, yeah. You know, remember South Alabama?
Yes.
I thought that was it. I thought it was over right there.
Another first-round loss.
Brett Hanson was going through the last time they lost in the first round again. There was, oh, no, here come the first-round questions again.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, so, Brian, can you stick around for another? We love this conversation. We got to take a break. Can you stick around for another 10 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Great. We'll take a break and then come back more with Brian's stories here on 1030 The Voice.
Being named the 2020 El Tour de Tucson dedication recipient was such an honor. I have been a part of El Tour in the past, and I know about some of these amazing names that have been dedication recipients in the past, but it was an honor to be chosen for that, not only for me, but for my organization that supports people with disabilities.
I've met so many people through the riding and through El Tour that are now some of my closest and dearest friends.
One of the things that makes El Tour, you know, so safe and so well ran is all the law enforcement that gets involved blocking off the roads. My favorite part of the course on the newer course was the backside of Pistol Hill.
I think what's amazing about El Tour is there's something for everyone's ability level. It includes the opportunity to be out there. You can even do a one miler. You can do something at home if you're limited to being indoors. That's what's great about it is all abilities are encouraged. It's very inclusive.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have Brian Jeffries, the voice of the Wildcats. We want to pick your brain on some of the great coaches you've been able to get close to.
Brian, okay, so here's a question. And answer this the best you can. Give us a great Lute story that would tell us something about Lute that people don't really know. Because I think, you know, he was always, you know,
close to the vest.
Everybody's got an image of Lute, something that maybe would tell you a little bit about him that other people don't know.
All right. Well, let's see. I can think of a couple things off the top of my head. Remember, he owned a restaurant out on Broadway.
Oh, that's right. Olson's, yes.
Yeah. And we did his radio coaches show from there for several years, which only made sense. And, you know, Lute loved a glass of wine. And so, you know, he wasn't afraid to, you know, have a nice cab or whatever as the show went on. And that was the first time I'd ever seen that happen. I thought, oh, Coach is, you know, he's drinking during the show here. I mean, are we going to be okay? I mean, but of course, you know, you would have never known it. And it was just kind of, it was part of his personality. And so that was kind of fun. I remember at the Final Four in 97. So, you know, they had beaten North Carolina to get to the championship game. And so it was day of the game, or maybe it was the day before the game when we were going to do the pregame interview. And so I met him in the hallway outside the locker room. And I just said to him, I said something to the effect of, well, Coach, this is a new one for you. And he kind of looked at me for a minute and he said, yeah, you're right. Because he'd never coached in a championship game before. Yeah. And I think it kind of threw him off for a while because I started the interview and he didn't hear my first question because he was still thinking about the fact that, you know, it was kind of like I thought to myself, oh, what did I do?
Yeah.
Have I told him something that I shouldn't have? And, you know, we kind of laughed about it later. But, I mean, there's so many things. He, you know, he's just so tremendous to work with, you know, just because he respected what I needed, which, you know, is tough. I mean, coaches have a lot of demands on them. And sometimes the last thing they need is a radio guy chasing them around trying to do a pregame interview or, you know, the postgame interview in particular if they've lost a game or whatever. And he was always extremely kind and treated me very well. And I can't say enough about that because, you know, that, again, was early on in my career here. And it was important, you know, to have that type of support. And, you know, he was such and is you know, such a giant in terms of, you know, the community and sports, so on, just to be able to talk to him and you know, pick his brain. And he was always very sharing of things too. And they would always put out the report on the opposing team. And, you know, he, to me, one of the great things about Lute is that he prepared his teams for an opponent like I've never seen before. I mean, in terms of the detail that he would go through, including this multi-page scouting report that every player would get. I know coaches do that, but the detail he went into, I just thought was amazing. And he would always give me a copy of it before games. And, you know, that's not my job, really, to know that, you know, Reggie Miller likes to go to his left and not his right and all these things. But him sharing that with me was, you know, very valuable in many terms. So I also have said many times, and with all due respect to his current wife, Kelly, who I just love and I think has been just, you know, the light of his life. His marriage to Bobby Olsen was one of the great relationships, one of the great marriages I've ever witnessed in my life. Just the love they had for each other, her being there all the time. You know, she was so devoted to him and what she did for all the players over the years. That's something special, I think, that you rarely see in sports.
Oh, that definitely. I mean, like, you know, I mean, Bobby would come up and hug my wife,
yeah,
you know,
right.
On the road or wherever, you know, just every, I mean, even years after I wasn't even covering the team anymore, I would see him at a Fiesta Bowl dinner or something like that.
Yeah,
what a tremendous person she was.
You knew if you got close to Bobby, you'd get a little close to Lute.
Because she's,
for me at least, I'd say, give her notes. Can you ask him this for me? Whatever. So now let's try Dick Tomey. We got just a few minutes, but what about Dick Tomey?
Well, Dick was great because that was my first year. So Larry Smith leaves after the 86 season, and Dick Tomey's coach, and then all of a sudden, here I am, you know, my first year full-time doing football play-by-play. And again, I never played football in my life. I was 139 pounds and 6'3" in high school. You know, they would have killed me. I would have broken in half trying to play football. And I was uncoordinated on top of that. But anyway, what Dick did for me was he taught me the game of football, and he simplified it for me. He made me realize that it looks complicated sometimes, but it's really not. And you know as well as I do, guys, that, you know, he was, and I hate using that cliche, but he was a player's coach.
Right.
And that's what it was all about. It wasn't about wins and losses. It was about his relationship with the players. And he allowed me kind of to see that, and again, to just show me how simple the game was, and that probably, you know, helped me more than anything, just because instead of me going in every week with my head spinning about what's going to happen here and, you know, what offense are they going to play and what defense, blah blah blah, he made it easy for me, and I'll never forget that.
Brian, this has been great. It's been, you know, again, going down memory lane with you on this stuff, and not realizing that we started this about the same time. So we went through a lot of the same things, and, you know, I know that now, you know, at basketball games, I see you down the row, maybe once in a while I'll bring you the stats, but, you know, just, you know, we've been very lucky to have you around all this time, and, you know, we're glad you're here, and we're glad you've stayed, and you've brought a lot to, you know, to us who are fans of the Wildcats.
You could go another 33 years, probably.
You could, and again, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to be really distressed about
cry.
The fact that you're 6 years older than me, and you look about 20 years younger than me. I'm really upset by this.
No, I'm sorry. Well, hey, I appreciate you guys. I mean, to have two guys that have the history that you have on the air in Tucson, I think is invaluable for this community, and so I appreciate that, and I know, you know, the fans appreciate, because that's something that, you know, a lot of cities don't have. So keep it up.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks a bunch, Brian.
Appreciate
Thanks for spending all this time with us today.
All right, glad to.
We'll do it again soon. Thanks.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun there, Jay.
It was.
We could go another week.
We could. You know, we could do two more shows with Brian. One right after the other. It was great to have him. You know, everybody's. You know, if you had a chance to work with him, you're his friend, and he's such a great guy. And I do. I love the fact that we've had him for this amount of time here.
Right. Gotta go. See you tomorrow.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow.
Right here on 10:30 The Voice.